you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor this morning.
Good morning.
We thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for supernatural overflow in this room. God, I thank you for your presence that breaks yoke, breaks chains. Father God, I thank you that the enemy is destroyed. Every plan that he has is destroyed. And God, we have come to celebrate and lift up a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we give you honor. Come on, church. It's a new song. But I want you to praise whether you know the words or not.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your life. And there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won. You've already won. There is no weapon that could ever overcome your life. There is no army with the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Show me one thing you can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
Come on and shout out if you believe it.
There is no kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. And in his kingdom, every dead thing is bound to rise. Oh God, our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
We believe it.
Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
We know all things are possible to those who believe. And God, we shout out a praise this morning. We glorify you this morning. And we sing a declaration. Come on.
Through all of my fear, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out of faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out of faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Come on.
All of my being, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out of it. I will crush disappointment and every.
Come on.
All of my being, I will turn into praise. A victory dance, I will dance out of it. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can do. He's the God of the breakthrough and anything. impossible. Oh, we believe everything is possible. promises you made. There isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart.
Be drowned. My God will make a way. I know what God prevents us from just because we exercise our faith ahead of time. Amen? So in this time, just come down and we'll pray for you this morning. Pray for this morning. I'm just going to pray for those that are watching. Welcome to the service. Thank you for joining us. Do you have a need in your life? Is there a healing in your body? Restoration in your family? Is there a need helping your finances? Whatever it is. Those lives, Father, I thank you for answering prayer. I thank you for making a way where there seems to be no way. I thank you, Father, for arresting that situation and turning it in the direction that it should be going. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing and miracles and deliverances and testimonies in Jesus' name. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to worship together.
Miracles, 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 miracles are breaking out. Bible says in Ephesians that we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places.
And the more we know about the Word of God, the more we can put it into practice in our lives. Amen? Wonderful. We're glad to see you in church today. I'm glad I get to get up here and see your lovely faces and see our members that are not back in church yet. If you're staying away for health reasons, we understand. But if you're staying away for any other reason, come back to church. Amen. Someone said this and said, the problem about missing church is that after a while you don't. That you're here today. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I'm the pastor's wife, Bill Perry. We're glad to have you. Our church loves having new members, having new visitors in our church, don't we? And so if you're here for the first time, we just want to welcome you. We want to honor you. Just give you a visitor pack where you're sitting, not to embarrass you in any way. Anyone here for the first time today, God bless you. Welcome. So glad you came. So glad you came. In that packet, a couple of things. Take a visit service card, if you wouldn't mind just filling it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering budget to drop it in. But lovely that you stayed so high to look at. Thank you. Wonderful. We love having visitors in our church. Amen. And we've got a pack register. We ask you to just fill them in as they come by. It really helps us to change your food. It's not a Sunday. Only pastor. He's a 24/7 pastor and he always wants to know who is where and is everybody okay, and so going in and filling that register as it comes past, really appreciate it. Also, if you don't get our tips, just text the word ascend to 313131 and you'll get our weekly update on what's going on and as well as any special events that come up. We don't miss anything. Allison was saying to us, last week she was in children's ministry, or that was 2 weeks ago, she was in children's ministry, and Pastor Steve made an announcement, and she picked up and she's like, now, how would I know that unless somebody happened to tell me? Because so it's important that we stay updated with those tips. Maybe you just missed something, and we don't want you to miss anything. Just to make you remind you of the platforms on which you can watch the service. You can watch them now, and you can watch live right now, or they can watch, you can watch it after the fact. We were talking about our mobile app. Angela over there, look back there. See Angela? Angela did everything to get our mobile app running, and it took a lot. Plus she paid for it. And it's phenomenal. We've got over 100 video messages on there, so it's a great thing. If you don't have a good scan on the back of your seat, you put it on your phone, you can share it. Sometimes somebody's going through something and you think, I know something that would minister to them, you can just share that with them. So there's that. There's our mobile app, there's Facebook, there's YouTube, the Center on YouTube, there's our website, Center.us, and there's also TV. On Sunday morning at 7:30, that really is not for us, right? We're getting ready for church at that time. That's an outreach to people who are not in church. We're on the way to church, that's saying, look, every person that watches this church, they can be stirred to actually be in church. That's important, you know? So that's a good thing. I want to remind you about purpose just before we get into the message. Our four main purposes are first of all to help you to know God better, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen? Why are you surprised?
Well, I'm just enjoying listening to you talking, you see. And I forget. Words a day. The average woman, apparently, I'm told. Did you get that, what she said? Did you understand it? The average woman, apparently, speaks 25,000 words a day. The average man, speaks 12,500. Women speak twice as much as men. That's what they tell me. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Good to have you here this morning. Amen. We've got a little challenge with our screen, you know. Praise the Lord. Not one thing as the other. But we're not going to let anything stop us from receiving what God has for you today. Don't let anything stop you. I tell you, one of the enemy's greatest tools is distraction. One of the enemy's greatest tools to get you out of God's will for your life is to distract you with something else, something shiny. A lot of people not here this morning because they got distracted with something else. What I'm going to share with you this morning is so life-changing. It is so life-transforming. There isn't anywhere that I would be this morning than right here. Amen? So tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell him you're looking good today. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you are so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for who you have made us to be in Christ. And Lord, as I declare your word today, I pray that you will bring revelation and understanding to each and every person, that we will be transformed in our thinking. We will be transformed, Lord, in how we see ourselves, that we will see ourselves, Lord, the way you say we are, the way that we will see ourselves, Lord, being able to do the things that you say we can do. I thank you today, Lord, that every insecurity, every inferiority, every fear will be dispelled and broken in the name of Jesus, Lord, and that we will rise up today and we will believe that we are who you say we are, that we have what you say we have, and that we can do what you say we can do. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done this morning in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout out amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I am the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, and I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. We have the friendliest people in South Florida. I promise you, they'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have fun at Ascend Kids Church, and we really hope you'll come see us soon. Don't we, everybody? Now, today, I'm going to share something with you that really is life-transforming. I want to speak about who I am. I'm speaking in the first person. So I'm speaking to you about this is who you are, who I am in Christ. There's so many people today that struggle with their identity. They have insecurities. They have inner turmoil. So many people don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel good about their life. There really is an identity crisis in the world today. People don't know who they are. They don't know who God says they are. Because let me tell you, in order to live happy and free, you have to know who God says you are. And when you receive Jesus in your life, you are transformed from who you used to be. When you know who God made you, and you begin to believe that, and you begin to see yourself that way, let me tell you, it is life transforming. You will live happy, fulfilled, in peace. The more that you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. The more you see who you are in Christ, the more that's who you'll be. Now, let me tell you, who I am in Christ is amazing. But who Christ is in me is the real story. It's beyond amazing. Our true identity is found when we stop being who we are and we start being who we were created to be. See, you are who God says you are. My identity does not lie in my mistakes. It doesn't lie in my struggles.
or those discouraging voices that, you know, come to my mind, because Satan is constantly fighting believers. He kind of calls us to lose sight of our true identity. Let me tell you, in him is where your true identity is. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that tell us who we are in him. And I would encourage you, as you read your Bible, as you study your Bible, particularly the New Testament, whenever you find a scripture that says in him, or maybe it says in Christ, or maybe it says in whom, or through whom, any time it says in him, in Christ, through whom, you need to pay attention to those scriptures, because that's telling you who you are. You'll find other scriptures that maybe don't use this specific phrase in him, but yet they still tell you who you are or what you have because you're in Christ. There's over 140 scriptures in the New Testament that talk about who you are in him. Of course, I can't get through all 140 today, as much as I know you'd love me to tell you all 140, but I'm gonna share as many as we can get through. And I encourage you, when you find these scriptures, write them down and then begin to meditate on them. Begin to confess them. Begin to say, this is who I am and this is what I have in Christ. Because faith confessions create reality. Let me tell you, as far as God is concerned, everything that you are in Christ, or everything that you have in Christ, he's already done it. It's already a done deal. Everything the Bible says is ours is legally ours. However, it is your believing it, and it is your confessing it, which makes it become a reality in your life. For example, we see that God has already provided salvation. But we only receive salvation when we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and we confess him to be Lord of our life. Sometimes we say things like, well, you know, God saved so-and-so last night. But from God's viewpoint, God didn't save them last night. God saved them when Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. The man just accepted the salvation last night. It became a reality to him, but God provided it 2,000 years ago. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With my heart I believe, and with my mouth confession is made unto. That's how you receive salvation. Salvation is already available, but you received it by believing in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he's alive, and confessing him to be Lord of your life. The Bible says salvation, a confession is made unto salvation. And it's the same principle with everything else that God has already provided to you. When you believe it in your heart and you begin to confess it with your mouth, it becomes a reality in your life. Are you with me? As you read these in him scriptures, they may not even seem real to you. It may not seem like you really have what these scriptures say that you have in him. You may read the scripture and it says this is what you have in Christ, and go, but that's not true in my life. But if you will begin to believe it, and if you will begin to confess it, this is who I am, and this is what I have, then it will become a reality in your life. It's already real in the spirit realm, but if you want it to become real in the physical world in which we live, you have to receive it by your faith. Faith is what brings these realities from the spirit world into the physical world. The more you talk about it, the more real it will become in your life. The less you talk about it, the less real it will become in your life. Who am I? Number one, I am greatly loved by God. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, you are always and dearly loved by God. I like that. Say, I am always dearly loved by God. David said in Psalm 17 verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Now notice, David said, keep me as the apple of your eye. That means David knew he already was the apple of God's eye. And he said, keep me the apple of your eye. Now what does the, do you know what the term the apple of my eye means? Well, it refers to your eye's pupil. And it was seen in ancient days as the most precious part, really, of your body. Think of how your eyes are protected. You have eyebrows, you have eyelids, you have eyelashes, you have your cheekbones. I mean, you have all these things that would protect. If anything ever tries to come in your eyes, what is the first thing you do? You put your hands up and you protect your eyes. David is saying that we are precious to God, and God protects us the same way we protect our eyes, people. We are the apple of God's eye. Why? Because of his great love for us. We're so valuable to him. We're so precious to him. And David knew that. And David said in Psalm 8, he said, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars that you ordained, what is man? What is man that you're so mindful of him? The Son of Man you visited. And David's looking at the sky and he's looking at creation. He's saying, Lord, when I see the awesomeness of your creation, what is man that you're so interested in him? Why do you care about man so much? You are the apple of God's eye. Say, I'm the apple of God's eye. Say, I'm dearly loved by God. Say, I'm valuable and I'm precious to God. That's how God sees you. See, so many people, they have an idea that God's mad at them, God's out to get them. Every problem they have in life, God, why'd you do this? You got to understand, God loves you dearly. You are precious to him. Number two, I'm a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. Galatians 3:26, you've all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a child of Almighty God. Say, God is my Father. Number three, I am approved and I am accepted by God. So many people today looking for approval, looking for acceptance, looking for love in all the wrong places. 1 Thessalonians 3:4, we have been approved by God to be those who preach the gospel. So our motivation is our motivation to preach is not pleasing people, but it's pleasing God who thoroughly examines our hearts. Romans 8:10, you are fully accepted to God. Let me tell you, I would rather be accepted and approved by God and rejected by people than be approved and accepted by people and rejected by God. Jesus said in John 5:43, your approval or your disapproval means nothing to me. For as I know so well, you don't have God's love within you. Say, I'm approved and accepted by God. Number four, I am a born-again new creation. Jesus said in John 3:3, unless you're born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. You can never get into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again. Not to a life that will quickly end, your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. The Living Bible says when a person becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore, a new life has begun. Amen? When you receive Jesus in your life, your spirit, the real you on the inside, is born again. With the life of God, you become a new person. You become a new creation. The old things pass away, the old mistakes, the old life, it passes away. Say, I am a born-again new creation. Say, my past is gone. I am the righteousness of God. Who am I? I'm the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you know that you are as righteous as God himself? You can't get any more righteous than that. The New Living Translation says, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You see, righteousness means I have right standing with God. God is now my Father. I am His child. I can boldly come before Him and say, Father, and He says, yes, my son, I have righteousness. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Let us come boldly to the throne of God. Why? Because He is my Father. I am His child. I can come before His throne and receive mercy and grace in my time of need. Many Christians feel unworthy. They're not bold to approach the throne of God. They'll say, well, won't you pray for me? But you are His child, you are righteous, and He wants you to boldly come before Him. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I come boldly before the throne of God, and I receive His mercy and His grace to help me whenever I need it. Number six, I am holy. Verse 11 says, Jesus the Holy One makes us holy. Hebrews 3 verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, you are now made holy. Hebrews 10, 14 says, by His one perfect sacrifice, He made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. Praise God. The word holy means to be set apart. That's what it means. Holy means to be set apart, to be dedicated to God. You have been made holy. God has set you apart for Himself. Now we must set ourselves apart for Him and live holy unto Him. That's what holiness is to live dedicated, to be set apart, to do what God wants, to please Him. 1 Peter 1 verse 2 says, the Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with His blood. And 1 Peter 1 verse 15 says, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. In 2 Peter 3:11, don't you see how vital it is to live a holy life? We must be consumed with godliness. It is vital to live a holy life. Why? Because Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. If you plan on seeing God, you've got to live a life that is holy and dedicated unto Him. Say, I've been made holy, and I will live a holy life by the grace of God. This is who I am. Number seven, I am forgiven. Praise God. Who am I? I am forgiven. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Romans 4:25, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. And He was raised back to life to prove that He had made us right with God. Amen. Hebrews 10:10, we have been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. And 1 John 2:12, I'm writing to all of you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. Now, if you wonder why, take a seat. Why do you quote so many scriptures? Because I am simply here to tell you what God says. I'm a messenger to tell you what God says. And let me tell you, that's what transforms your life. My words don't transform your life. God's word is life transforming. I want to tell you what God says. That's what I want to do. Amen. What about the sins I commit after I became a Christian, after I received Jesus? Anyone commit any sins after you received Jesus? One, two, three. Well, thank God for 1 John 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. Let me tell you, when you ask God to forgive you, I don't care if you sin 490 times in a day. Is anyone here sin 490 times in one day? Let me try now. The Scripture says we've got to forgive our brother 70 times 7. That means God will forgive you at least as much, 70 times 7. If you ask God to forgive you, He forgives you and He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says He doesn't remember your sin. So if God doesn't remember your sin, why would you say, I am forgiven, my sins are washed away, God doesn't remember them. God doesn't hold them against me. And I don't remember them either. How about this? Who am I? Number 8. I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Actually, you were a sinner. Then you got saved by God's grace. And now you ain't a sinner anymore. Now you are a saint. Saint Steve, you may call me. Many people think only people like Saint Jude are saints. Saint Francis, you know, people who've been declared saints. You know what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. It says, "To the church which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus, God says enough." In other words, everybody who calls on the name of Jesus, everywhere you are called as a saint. Stop identifying yourself as, "Oh, I'm just a sinner." That's who you used to be. Now you're a saint. Now you're the righteousness of God. Number 9, I'm dead to the power of sin, and I'm alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with Him. Romans 6 verse 11, "You also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus." The Passion Bible says, "Since you are now joined with Him, you must continually view yourself as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the anointed one." Say, "I am dead to the power of sin." Say, "Sin doesn't control me. I am living for God's pleasure." Amen. Number 10, I am a marvelous masterpiece. I am God's workmanship. I am wonderfully made. Ephesians 2 verse 10, "You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And the New Living Translation says, "We're God's masterpiece." Say, "I'm a masterpiece." I'm God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Psalm 169, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works," and my soul knows that very well. The Message Bible says, "Body and soul, I'm marvelously made." Can I tell you who God says you are? God says you're wonderfully made. God says you are His workmanship, and God says that you are a masterpiece. Now, when you put yourself down and you say, "I'm just so no good, I'm just so stupid, I'm just so dumb," and you put yourself down, you're actually putting down, you're criticizing God's workmanship. Are you with me? Say, "I'm God's masterpiece." Say, "I'm God's workmanship." Say, "I am wonderfully made." Amen. Number 11, "I am special and I am chosen." 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. "Brothers and sisters, you are dearly loved by God, and we know He's chosen you to be His very own." God chose you before you chose Him. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Romans 8:33. "Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for His own?" Who dares accuse me? God has chosen me. Will God know? He is the one who's forgiven us and given us right standing with Himself. 1 Peter 1 verse 1. "You are not forgotten, for you've been chosen and destined by Father God, the Holy Spirit, to set you apart to be His holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, but you know the Bible says about Jesus in 1 Peter 2, 4, it says He was rejected by people, but He was chosen by God for great honor. I'd rather be chosen by God and rejected by people than be chosen by people and rejected by God. The Apostle Paul spoke a lot about being chosen by God. In fact, most of his letters, the Apostle Paul would start out like this, like Romans 1:1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Say this. Say, it doesn't matter who rejects me. I've been chosen by God. I am special to God. I am royalty. God chose you. God says you are special. Amen. Number 12, I'm favored by God. Who am I? I am favored by God. The Bible gives us so many amazing examples of what God's favor did for people. Joseph went from the pit to the palace because of the favor of God. He experienced incredible promotion because of the favor of God. Esther was chosen to be queen and ended up saving the whole Jewish nation in her day because of the favor of God that was on her life. Ruth was not Jewish. She was from Moab. But because of the favor of God, she married a wealthy Jewish man named Boaz. And Jesus was descended from the lineage of Ruth. Let me tell you, the favor of God is on you. You go through the Bible, you see what God's favor did, and understand that God's favor is on you. Psalm 5 verse 12. For Lord, you will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. The Bible says the favor of God surrounds the righteous. Ephesians 2 verse 7, it says, so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor. Say, I'm an example of the incredible wealth of God's favor. Say, I'm an example of the favor of God. The Bible says that God points to us. You want to see an example of my favor? Boom, Joshua. Boom, Gillian. Leo, you're an example of my favor. That's what it says. God points to us and is an example of his incredible favor. Let me tell you, the favor of God will open doors that you never thought possible. It'll cause you to meet people that you never dreamed that you would. Amen. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good man is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Why is favor better than money? Because money cannot buy you favor, but God's favor can make you wealthy. God's favor can bring you promotion. God's favor can bring you position, prestige, success, friends you never dreamed possible. Amen? The dictionary defines favor like this. The dictionary says favor is to regard with goodwill, to a gracious or friendly action or privilege arising from special goodwill. It is kindness beyond what is due or normal or usual, particularly towards generous treatment and support. It is furtherance, something which draws affection or goodwill, that which is a means of promotion. This is what favor is. Let me tell you, the favor of God will turn every adversity in your life into a victory. A day of favor is worth a thousand days of labor. Psalm 89 verse 17 says, your marvelous favor makes us even stronger, lifting us even higher. The Living Bible says our power is based on your favor. And the God's Word translation says, by your favor, you give us victory. I want you, you've got to see yourself as someone who is favored by God. You should expect things to go your way. You should declare favor over your life. Amen. I do this all the time. All the time. We just sold our house. I declared the favor of God over our house. I said, thank you, Lord, putting your favor on our house, making it stand out. Our house sold for the highest price per foot in our neighborhood. We declared favor. We got a cash offer. Not only that, the Lord's now guided us. We put in for years and years and years, I've been saying, one day I'm going to live on the water. One day I'm going to look at the water. I've been saying it for over 10 years. One day I'm going to look at that water. One day. Praise the Lord, that day has come. That day has come. We just put in an offer on a condo. It came up in North Palm Beach. Looks right over the intercoastal. They accepted it. We're trusting God, everything's going to, you know, everything's going to work out. But let me tell you something, that we're going to end up saving 50% of what we were spending on our home. We're going to save 50%, and I'm going to be on the water. I believe that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. Amen? Say, I am favored by God. God's favor surrounds me everywhere I go. Say, God's favor makes people want to be good to me. They want to promote me. They want to show me kindness. Say, I am not discouraged by adversity. I declare God is on my side. So who can stand against me? No, say, favor surrounds me like a shield protecting me. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I see myself as someone favored by God. I take authority over inferiority, over rejection. I know who I am in Christ. I expect the preferential treatment that is given to those that are highly favored. I'm the apple of his eye. I declare favor in every area of my life, with my family and my job, wherever I go. Doors open for me that people say are impossible. Because I am favored by God. You keep saying that. I've been declaring the favor of God over my life for 20 years or more. And I can't, we live like this. Things happen just supernaturally because of God's favor. Amen. Number 13, I am a joint heir. I'm an heir of God and I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's what the scripture says in Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. The Passion Bible says, since we are his true children, we qualify to share all of his treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. Say, I inherit all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has. Galatians 4 verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The Passion Bible says we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs because of what God has done. Say, I can access. Come on, say, I can access everything my Father has. As an heir of God, you have an inheritance. You can access everything the Father has. Do you know that the New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ? Do you know that the New Testament declares, tells you what belongs to you? It tells you what Jesus has done for you. You need to read his will. You need to read the will. If you have some wealthy, great family member, I don't know, maybe some cousin you only met, and they died and you found out, man, they were worth $1 billion. And they put you in the will. And then you've been invited to the reading of the will. Would you find some time to go and hear the will? Or would you say, oh, I'm just so busy, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance. You dumb. You stop what you're doing and you get over that reading the will. You could be a millionaire. You know, there's a lot of Christians, they don't have time to read the will. They don't know what belongs to them. They don't know their inheritance. Because they don't have time to read the will, read the Word of God, and claim what Jesus said is yours. Claim what belongs to you. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm telling you things that are yours, but if you don't claim them, it'll never be real in your life. Number 14, I am blessed, and I have the blessing on me. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Since God has blessed us, I'm not trying to get blessed. You're already blessed. God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Romans 15, 29, Paul said, I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. He spoke about the fullness of the blessing. What is the blessing? Well, Deuteronomy 28 says the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will command his blessing on you. See, when you are blessed with the blessing of God, you become like a magnet for good things to be attracted to you. The blessing causes you to be overtaken with blessings. Are you with me? Say, I am blessed. And I have the blessing of God on me. Say, the blessing of God makes me a magnet for blessings. Blessings are chasing me down. Blessings are overtaking me. Instead of going around saying, oh, I don't understand. Person keeps talking about his house and his new condo and doesn't happen for me. It's not happening to you because what you're saying. You've got to be saying, I'm blessed. And let me tell you, the blessing of God on me and blessing is chasing me down, overtaking me. Amen? Am I up to number 12 now? Wrong. 15, I am protected. 1 John 5:18. The Son of God protects the child of God and the evil one cannot touch him. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. Through your faith, God is protecting you by his power. How does God protect you? Because of your faith. You should be declaring Psalm 91. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. He will rescue me from every trap. Protect me from a deadly disease. He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. I am not afraid of the terrors by night, the arrow that flies by day. I don't dread the disease that stalks in darkness or the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me because I just open my eyes and it says, I made the Lord my refuge. I make the Most High. He is my shelter. No evil will conquer me. No plague will come near. No plague will come near my home. No plague will come near my home. For he will order his angels to protect me. Wherever you go, they will hold me up in their hands. I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. I'll trample upon lions and cobras. I'll crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. Say, I am protected. I have divine protection. I don't go around fearful. Oh, Lord. There's people that are taking the vaccination and they're still wearing two masks after they took the vaccination. They got vaccinated and they still got two masks on. And they're still fearful. They're still afraid. You see so many examples in the Bible of God protecting his people. Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2, pray that we'll be rescued from these troublemakers who are trying to do us in. I'm finding not all believers are really believers, but the Master never lets us down. He'll stick by you and protect you from evil. God says, I'll stick by you and protect you. Say, I am protected. The angels of the Lord surround me. Everywhere I go, they protect me. The Lord protects me from disease. Can't come near my house in Jesus' name. Number 16, I'm redeemed from sin and from sickness and from poverty. I am redeemed. Who am I? I am redeemed. Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. Deuteronomy 28 tells us what the curse of the law is. It includes death, spiritual death. It includes sickness. It includes poverty. It includes defeat. Let me tell you, sickness and poverty are a curse. But Jesus took the curse for us. We've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from poverty. Amen. Galatians 3:14 says, Jesus Christ dissolved the curse from our life so that in him all the blessings of Abraham could be poured out upon people of all the world. Abraham was blessed. The Bible says Abraham's blessings now is available to us. How was Abraham blessed? He became one thing. He became very wealthy because of God's blessing. Abraham's servant said this about Abraham in Genesis 24. He said, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master. He's become a wealthy man. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, a fortune in silver, gold, male, female servants, camels, donkeys. The Lord made my master very wealthy." Say, "I've been redeemed from the curse of sickness." Say, "I've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. For sickness, he's given me health. For poverty, he's given me wealth." Amen. Number 17, "I am healed." 1 Peter 2 verse 24, "By his wounds you are healed." Say, "I am healed. I am healed." Matthew 8, 17, "He took our sicknesses, he bore our diseases." Say this, say, "Jesus took my sicknesses. Jesus bore my diseases. I am healed by Jesus' wounds. Who am I? I am healed." Number 18, "I am empowered to get wealth, to be successful, and to become rich." Does the Bible say that? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty, he could make you rich." Deuteronomy 8:18, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." He gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. Amen. New Living Translation, "He gives you the power to become successful." The Living Bible, "He gives you the power to become rich." You know, it's amazing to me how people fight against the truth that God wants to foster you. I can't tell you, people fight at me. They were, "Oh, that pastor preaching on that heresy, prosperity." They fight against it. Like they want to be broke or something. They're fighting to be broke. Yet the Bible's got so many scriptures that tell us God wants to prosper you. God wants you to be successful. Say this, say, "Jesus became poor so that I could become rich. I have the power to be successful and to get wealth." Isn't that what the Bible says? Is that what I just read you from the scripture? Well, that's who God says you are, believer. Number 19, "I'm delivered and I am free." Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Galatians 5:1, "At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free." Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back in the bondage of our past. Listen to me. Don't go back. Tell your neighbor, "Oh, yeah, I'm not going back. Christ has set me free." The Bible says don't go back into the bondage of your past. I've seen people, God set them free, and then after a while they go back into the bondage of their past. Don't go back. Let me tell you, if you struggle with addiction, begin to confess, "Jesus has set me free. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Christ has set me free." Say, "I am free. Christ has set me free." What number am I on now? My number's all mixed up here. Number 20, "I have authority over the devil." Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "I've imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You'll trample upon every demon before you, and you will overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority." James 4 verse 7, "Surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. He will flee in terror." Mark 16:17, "Those who believe shall use my authority to cast out demons." How many of you know we have an enemy? The devil is our enemy. Demons are our enemy. Ephesians 6 says we don't wrestle and fight against people. We wrestle and fight against demonic principalities and powers and rulers. But we have authority over them. Use your authority. You have authority. Say this. Say, "I take authority over the devil and demons trying to harass me. I resist you. You have no place in my life. In the name of Jesus, I have authority." 21, "I am empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work Jesus did." Say, I am empowered. Who am I? I'm empowered. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus said in John 14, 12, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these will he do, because I go to be with my Father. Say, I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the same thing Jesus did. When I prayed for sick people, they are healed. God does miracles through me because I have been empowered. 22, I am capable of conquering every difficulty. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Passion Bible says, I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a capable, can do it person. Don't ever say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never do that. Rather say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number 23, I am more than a conqueror. Who are you? You are more than a conqueror. Romans 8 verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, the Passion Bible says, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. Amen. Number 24, I am merciful. I am compassionate. I don't judge or condemn people. I forgive quickly. Who am I? I'm merciful. I'm compassionate. I don't judge and condemn people. I forgive quickly. Jesus said in Luke 6:36, overflow with mercy and compassion for others, just as your heavenly Father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, and you will not be criticized and judged in return. Don't condemn others, and you will not be condemned. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. Amen. Say, I am merciful. I do not judge other people. I forgive quickly. Number 25, I'm a person who lives and walks by faith. Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means you believe what God says. No matter how things may look, you believe what God says in his word. You take God at his word. You believe God will do everything he said. You believe and trust the word of God. You say what God's word says. And you do what God's word does. Say, I live and walk by faith. Say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I take God at his word. I believe he'll do it. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I live by faith. Number 26, who am I? I'm led by God. I'm led by God. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Thank God we don't have to find our own way in life. We can follow and let God lead us down the best path for our life. Listen to me now. God has a plan for your life. God has a path for your life. Psalm 32 verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway to your life. Say this, say, I am led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for directing my steps and guiding me down the best path of my life. And let me tell you, if you can't say this in church, you won't say it out of church. If you can't say these things while I'm saying it, you'll never say it out there, and everything I've said will not benefit you one bit. Not one. I see people sitting here with a mouth closed. Look at me. Listen, I'm not preaching for my benefit. I'm preaching for your benefit. I'm trying to help you to see yourself the way God sees you. And it takes, you've got to believe and say what God says. Number 27, I believe it's 27. We only got 113 to go. We're making progress. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I'm an alien in this world. You're looking at an alien. I always knew there was something different about you, Pastor Steve. Yeah, I'm an alien. Philippians 3, verse 20. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. 1 Peter 2:11. You are resident aliens and foreigners in this world. I'm a citizen of heaven, but I'm an alien in this world. I appeal to you to divorce yourself from the evil desire that wages war within you. The Living Bible, listen to the Living Bible. Since your real home is in heaven, I beg you, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not to you. They will fight against your very soul. That's why the scripture says in 1 John 2:15, don't set your affections of your heart on this world or loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch those filthy things and I will welcome you. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. My real home is in heaven. I'm just passing through. I'm an alien in this world. I'm living for eternity, not this temporary world. Number 20, what are we on now? 28, Ruth. I am an ambassador for Christ. Who am I? I'm an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you as though Christ himself were pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you to reconcile to God. Say, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I boldly speak to people. I bring people to church every Sunday. I tell people about Jesus every day. I'm an ambassador for him. Number 29, I'm a friend of God. John 15:15, Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I call you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. Say, I'm a friend of God. Who are you friends with? I'm a friend of God. I'm an enemy of the devil. I'm a friend of God. I'm not interested in friends with the devil. I only want to be a friend of God. Number 30, I am forever free from accusation and condemnation. I am forever free from accusation and condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. The Passion Bible says the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life's union with Jesus Christ. Say, I am forever free. Say, I am forever free from all condemnation. Jesus was condemned in my place. Number 30, is it number 30? 31, I am anointed by God. Who am I? I'm anointed by God. 1 John 2:26, the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. There's an anointing that abides in you. The Bible tells us the amazing things that people did because of the anointing. The anointing is the power and the ability of God. Samson was turned into another man, had incredible strength because of the anointing of God. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. All Jesus' miracles were done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are also anointed by God. It's a supernatural ability. Amen? Say, I'm anointed by God. Say, I am anointed by God. Number 32, I'm victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God, it gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, thanks be to God, I am victorious. You say, no matter what I face, God gives me the victory. Number 33, I'm not fearful, I'm not timid. I have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Say, I'm not fearful. I'm not timid. I have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Amen? Well, I think that's enough to get you started, get you going. Like I said, there's over 140 scriptures in the New Testament. Tell us who we are. Tell us what we have. tell us what we can do. I want to encourage you, study the will, the New Testament. Study the will. Find out what belongs to you. Write those scriptures down. Begin to meditate on them. Begin to confess them. The more you do, the more those scriptures will become a reality in your life. Amen.
Where did I put my piece of paper? I know I had it somewhere.
Did you get something out of this morning? Did you get something out of this morning? Listen, I would really encourage you. This message is a message you hear over and over again. This message, better than any therapy session, I guarantee you. You take this and you listen to it again and again, and you declare it. You go through your Bible and you get those in Him scripts, and as you say them, this is who I am, it'll become real in your life. I've been doing this for years, and I haven't arrived, but let me tell you, I've changed so much. I have this confidence. I know God loves me. I'm valuable. He's in my soul. When something bad happens, and the last thing I ever think of is God with us. This isn't God, He loves. This is the enemy. I resist Him in my faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I came to church today. How about you? Come on. Come on, Pastor Jill. I've got to do something else, right? Stay right there. Bow your head for me, would you? I want to pray for you. Would you bow your head, everybody? Just close your eyes. Everybody, just bow your head for a moment. Close your eyes. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We never close a service without giving people opportunity to make sure that everything is well, everything is right between you and God. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, listen, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. But I belong to this church, but I'm just not absolutely certain. Listen, you can be certain. You can leave here this morning. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake and sin you ever committed is washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want to embarrass you, but if you want to be included in this prayer, if you said, pray for me, Pastor Steve, I want to be sure that all is right between me and God. I want you just quickly to slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. If you're watching this online, you've never received Jesus in your life. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you'll be saved. Just say that today. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died on that cross for me. You gave Your life for me. I believe You've been raised from the dead. I confess You as Lord of my life. In the name of Jesus, from today I'm going to live for You. Thank You, Lord. I'm now saved. I'm Your child. Heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jill.
Take that. thought God doesn't want to do it. He says, just listen to me, obey me, and you'll see vision. It actually sounds a lot like Malachi 3. And very often when we come to the TV often we talk about bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and bring the food in our house, and what peace is God, and I want to pledge with the vision. And so giving and tithing releases vision in our life. Amen. Releases vision. And if you believe that, just hold your offering, your tithing in hand, and say this with me. Say, I am blessed. I have the blessing of God on me. Say, the blessing of God makes me a magnet for blessings. Blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go ahead and give. So thank you, Pastor, for doing that. We appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Tell them about your Zoom Bible study on Wednesday.
Yeah, we've been doing Zoom Bible study Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening. Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We usually call our 45 minutes, never over an hour. Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. I'll send out the link again. If you're able to, I understand that you can. Some people are able to keep working, they turn their camera off, they just listen to it. Maybe you have to drive them home from the hospital. Put it on in the car, listen it on the way home. We've been having a great time. Just say one chapter to a week.
So how do ladies get on this?
I send the link out.
You send the link out how?
I send it out on our Instagram.
You send it by the easy check that comes from 313131. Every week you send the link. And you can watch it. Praise God. Thursday night, what's happening Thursday night, Abel? Every second Thursday we have
prayer and worship night. So
do we have the graphic up there for it back there?
Don't
worry about it. It was awesome. Upstairs in our upstairs room. Praise God, stand up with us everybody, will you do that? I want to remind you, on your chair there was a little black invitation card, says you're invited. Please take that invite with you this week. Invite someone to church, say I'm an ambassador for the Lord. Invite someone to come next Sunday, it's Mother's Day. Next Sunday's Mother's Day, we'll be honoring all the moms, bring someone with you. God bless you, turn to someone, tell them I'm glad you were here today.
Show me one thing it can do. Show me a mountain it can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next Sunday.